Are you shopping to find your thing? Is your thing stickers, t-shirts, posters? Is your thing wall art, clothing, home and living, phone cases? Are you shopping for your kids and babies? How about stationery? Many, many other gifts. You can find all these at Redbubble, redbubble.com. Get the app and save 20% at redbubble.com. Find your thing. Click on the link in the show notes. That's Redbubble, redbubble.com.
Need something delivered? Do you need dinner? Groceries? Did you forget to stop and buy that bottle of tequila? Postmates is here for you. If you haven't tried Postmates before, we have a great deal for you. Just by setting up a new account and using the code INDIEFOOD, you will be eligible for $100 in delivery fee credits for the first 7 days of your membership. Don't wait. Go to Postmates.com and use the code INDIEFOOD. That's INDIEFOOD. Postmates. Anything, anytime, anywhere. Postmate it. And welcome to another edition of Everyone Has a Story. I am your host, Nate Wade. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We have Alex Williams on the show this week. Look, hey, it was a great conversation. It was really cool because this guy reached out to me on Twitter, and come to find out, he is in Idaho. So I actually got to interview somebody who does a podcast who actually is in Idaho currently. Now, he's actually from Canada. We talk about that in the conversation, but he's going to school here in Idaho, so it was really kind of cool. And we have decided that once this COVID-19 thing kind of settles down just a little bit, we are going to get together and go have a soda or something. So that should be fun. Alex, look forward to it. So let's do that really, really soon. Hope everybody's week is going fantastic. Just wanted to talk just a little bit about what I mentioned last week as well. I am going to have to put just a tad bit of a hiatus on my podcast here. So approximately for the next month or so, probably the month of June, for the most part, I will not be releasing any new episodes, but you can continue to listen to all of the back episodes if you missed them. There goes my computer. Isn't that awesome when it does that? I just love it when it does.
Hey, there's a virus in threat protection. Windows Defender summary needs to be turned on now.
Oh, stop it, Windows. Stop interrupting my recording of my podcast. So anyways, yes, I will not be recording any new podcasts for the month of June just because work is crazy hectic and I'm working a lot of hours, about 50 to 60 hours a week, which maybe isn't a lot to some people, but that's a lot to me. So we will be putting this on pause. Doesn't mean I'm going anywhere. Doesn't mean the podcast is stopping. I will be back, and I've made a promise to myself that I'm going to at least hit 100 episodes before this is all said and done. So please don't delete the podcast from your podchaser or podcatcher or whatever you want to call it, right? Because I will be back. I promise. So I don't really have much else to say this week. I'm not going to get into politics. 2 weeks ago, I really unloaded on everybody. And if you were offended by that, I apologize. But I still stand by everything I said. So Alex Williams here on Everybody Has a Story, coming up right after these messages from these fantastic podcasts on the Indie Blast Podcast Network.
I'm Kayla Knight, the host of Get Grim, a weekly podcast for the miniature folklorist or teller of tales in your life. Each week, I adventure to adapt several tales around a central theme and share them with my audience, along with my own commentary and background on each story. New episodes are released every Saturday, and I can be found on Apple iTunes or on your favorite podcast app.
The Be Engaged and Inspired podcast, a new podcast with your host, myself, Kia, and
DJ Sam, that's me, with nearly 60 years of joint experience. Remember, every Wednesday, a new episode of the Be Engaged and Inspired podcast will help you navigate those tricky waters of planning a wedding or special event.
Listen to us on Apple and Google Play. Follow us on the Be Engaged and Inspired podcast Facebook group page. And remember that the Be Engaged and Inspired podcast is proud to be part of the Indie Blast podcast network.
I am from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Okay. Born and raised my whole life. And that's where I'm from, like forever and ever. And I I love it there. It's a beautiful city, a beautiful country, and just I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is it cold up there?
You know, okay, so everybody asks that, and it's the funniest thing, because frankly, I find the winters in Idaho way worse than the winters back home. Yeah, yeah.
Why is that, do you think?
So we get these things called Chinooks, and I know Denver gets them, and there are some places in Montana that get them as well, and it's a warm western wind.
No.
And for me, it's the best selling feature of Calgary. Like, it's, you know, it can be cold, but then not even kidding, the temperature can go from minus 40 Fahrenheit. Like, I'll do it in Fahrenheit, minus 40 Fahrenheit in the morning when I go to work and I'm wearing my thermals underneath and I've got my big winter jacket on and I'm all bundled up. And then by the end of the day, it's like somewhere above freezing, just about maybe 40 degrees. And I'm walking out with my jacket underneath my arm and took the thermals off in the bathroom because the temperature can change that much just from this wind.
Really? Just like an 80 degree swing in a day, pretty much.
Yeah. And even, I think I looked it up once. I think Montana actually holds the record for the fastest swing. It was 80 degree change in like 30 minutes or something like that.
That's crazy.
Like,
that's crazy.
Wild.
Yeah. I travel a lot for business. And last year I was over in North Dakota when they had that, what they call it, a polar vortex. I think that's what they, what they call it. So regular temperature, of course, I have to do Fahrenheit since I am an American. But it was 57 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, regular temperature. And then with the wind chill, it was roughly around 75 below, which was stinking cold. And if I never have to experience those kind of temperatures again in my life, I will be a happy man. It was so cold. I went through three rental cars trying to find one that would actually start for me.
Really?
Yeah, which was nice because the first one I had didn't have any heated seats or anything like that. The second, the third, by the time I got to the third one, it had heated seats and it had automatic start. Although the car said, ain't no way am I going to start automatically in this kind of weather. But it was so cold. And then on top of that, it had, you know, there's North Dakota blizzards. North Dakota is pretty much as flat as it can be. There are no trees. The only trees that are around are right around, I go to what they call the Red River Valley, which is right on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota. And the only trees that are around would be the trees that are either around the river or they've planted along their farms to keep the dust from blowing so badly. Other than that, it's terrible. It's just, it's not a fun place to be in the winter. And unfortunately, that's the only time I get to go.
That's too bad. That sucks. Yeah. Go in the summer sometime.
Well, that's nice. You know, it's potatoes. That's what we do. We have to go where the potatoes are. And in the winter,
Is that what you do for work?
Well, yes, of course. As we've established before we started recording, I am from Idaho. And of course, I'm going to work in the most Idaho business there is, you know? Just so.
Although I got to say, Idaho's best crop is your onions. Seriously, like, Idaho has amazing onions. Start selling those. Start putting that on your license plates.
Well, actually, my company, that's what we sell. We sell potatoes and onions. In fact, the company is Potandon, which is potatoes and onions. So yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And Idaho actually does grow something like 35 to 40% of the nation's entire onion crop, mostly on the western side of the state over by Boise. But it's crazy how much here. So you grew up in Calgary. Did you grow up in a big family, small family?
Big family. Yeah.
Big family. Okay.
So this is kind of funny because this is a similar format to one of the shows I do where I ask people questions. So it's fun getting to be on the other end of it and answer some of these. So I'm the second oldest of seven kids.
Okay.
But I also have some step siblings. So growing up though, there was really just the seven of us. And being the second oldest, I get to be the cool older brother, five sisters. One of them's older than me and then one younger brother as well.
Okay.
And just a ton of fun. Like, I loved being from a big family.
So, okay. You did. It wasn't a bad thing or anything like that.
Okay. No, it was the best thing. Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. So you told me that you're going to school at BYU Idaho, right?
Mm-hmm.
So were you involved in scouts and all that kind of stuff as well when you were growing up there?
Yeah.
I mean, do they have scouts in Canada? First of all, that's kind of a question I never really had to ask anybody.
Question. Yeah. So, yeah, we do have Scouts Canada. Uh-huh. Things are a little bit different from what I've seen compared to how Scouts is done in the US, but generally it's safe to say it's about the same from what I've noticed.
Okay.
So I got my Chief Scout Award, which is similar to the Eagle Scout Award down here. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. Doing Scouts was a ton of fun. Learned a lot, did a lot of camping trips. I remember if I can share a camping story.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
My first Scout camp, we had a rule. It was like when you turned before you turned 12, you could only go on one night camping trips with Scouts. But once you turned 12, you could go on like extended camping trips, right? Like it didn't matter.
Right.
And so, so I go on my first scouting trip, my first scout camp. I was 11 years old, but I turned 12 on that weekend. Okay. And so then I got to stay for the full three, I think it was three nights long. We get a 5-day weekend every February and at least in Alberta. I don't know what it's like down here.
Okay.
But it was on this 5-day weekend and I go out and it was in February. So it's freezing cold. We go out to this provincial park called Kananaskis and go to camp out there. And it's just like 3 feet of snow everywhere, like covered, right?
Yeah.
And in the middle of the forest, in the mountains, we drive out and our scout group, it was lots of scout groups together. And our scout group decided that we were going to sleep in Quincy's. We were going to build these snow forts and we were going to sleep in them. We weren't going to use tents and it was going to be awesome.
Okay.
And growing up, I was definitely not a camper. I've branched out a little bit since then, but I never really enjoyed camping.
Okay.
And then we go out. And we build these Quincy's, which for anybody listening who doesn't know what that is, it's you pile up a bunch of snow, you let it set a little bit, and then you dig in and dig out. It's similar, you know, you probably made one in your backyard growing
up,
right?
Sure, you bet.
And so we build these and we go to sleep in them. And I thought, I didn't have a winter sleeping bag. In our family, we had one winter sleeping bag. And that night my dad was going to use it. And so I used two summer sleeping bags and like three blankets and like just bundled everything up. And it was awful. I was not warm enough at all.
I was gonna say, yeah.
So I'm sitting in there with one of my buddies who's in our scout group. And I'm sitting in there. He had a nice winter sleeping bag and he slept fine. And I was up all night and I needed to pee so bad. And so it's the middle of the night. And I'm like, I gotta pee. And I go out and of course we build a little wall in front of the door so that the wind doesn't rush in.
Sure.
Right. And I go out to use the washroom. I was going to pee on a tree. Right. And I poke my head above the little wall that we made.
Okay.
And I just felt the wind and it was so, so cold. Like it was probably about that -40 temperature that we were talking about before. So cold, right? And I just thought, I can wait forever if I have to. I'm not going to go pee out here.
That bad, right?
That is not a good idea, right?
Yeah.
And so I just went in back in the Quincy and I just tried my darndest to sleep. I probably slept a little bit. But yeah, in the morning, the best part is we went and found my dad. He got too cold in the winter sleeping bag. So he took the winter sleeping bag into my buddy's dad's trailer that he had brought.
Oh.
And he went and slept in a trailer.
I see.
While I was outside freezing.
So that was kind of cheap, wasn't it?
It was totally cheap, totally cheap. So the next night I took the winter sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad waking me up in the middle of the night saying, "Can I crawl in there with you, buddy? I'm so cold." And so my dad and I remember I was 12 years old. It was the night of my birthday. And we just like huddled up, frozen inside of this winter sleeping bag.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a good story. Is the LDS Church going to be using that the scouting program that they're creating here in the States? Will that be in Canada as well? Do you know?
I would assume so. I haven't really looked much into it, though, actually. Mm. Yeah, and I'm not even sure. Yeah, I'm told. I guess they probably would, just to kind of keep it the same across the board. Mm-hmm. They would probably implement it identically in Canada, too.
That was something, a question I never even thought of. I mean, because I know that there's been, you know, obviously some situations here with the Boy Scouts of America and that has, you know, created some tension, some issues there. And of course, the LDS Church is the largest, has been the largest sponsor of the Boy Scouts here in the United States. And so I never thought about it until I'm talking to a Canadian. What are they going to do in the other places where they're scouting? Because I'm assuming, I'm not LDS, as you can tell. I'm assuming that scouting is
I don't know important. If I could tell, but
well, I'm asking questions, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah. I'm assuming scouting is just as important in some of these other countries where the LDS Church is at. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we do it. But I find, and it's probably the same down here. Uh-huh. It probably just varies congregation to congregation. Sure. I mean, I had, you know, youth leaders growing up who didn't care at all if we got any badges, if we did any of the scouting stuff, or even if we went camping at all. And then I had others who were super, super intense about it, had a great plan, and we went out and they made us do it, you know.
Well,
it just kind of depends.
Yeah, well, here in Eastern Idaho, in Idaho Falls, Idaho, especially, that was the thing. Every single one of my friends went through scouting without fail. Except for me, unfortunately. But anyways, yeah, everybody went through scouting, got their Eagle Scouts, probably became Order of the Arrow or whatever secret society. That's a joke, I know. I'm just... anyway, so how old are you, first of all, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 24.
24, yeah. Okay.
So 24.
You got through high school and...
I didn't, actually.
You did not? Okay, well, here's a story. Let's talk about this.
So maybe here's your story that
I mean, because you're going to college, so something's got to go on here.
Yeah. So this is really funny. And I mean, it's complicated. I kind of graduated high school, but I feel like it was more of a pity, just get out of here kind of thing. You know, like we don't want to deal with you anymore.
Okay. Do tell.
I was a really bad student. I was the student that every teacher was like, at the end of the year, we're passing him on. Like, he's not our problem anymore. Just finish up and like move on.
So what kind of problem were you? Is it just that you didn't get good grades, or were you like a troublemaker in class, or what was the deal?
You know, that I got pretty good grades, actually. I was the one that didn't try. I remember grade 11. This was the last exam that I did at school. Uh-huh. It was halfway through grade 11. And the last exam that I did, like, in public school, I did some homeschooling later on to finish up a few things. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at my grade on the you know, teacher's door. Mm-hmm. And I remember I'm looking through for my exam grade. And I see my student ID, and then like it was like 90% or something, right? I was like, awesome, like this is sweet. And then it had our final grade right beside it, and it said final grade 65%. And this was grade 11 social studies, okay? And I remember seeing my teacher coming down the hallway, looking at me, pointing at me, and being furious. She says, Alex, what is your problem? She says, what the heck? How did you do so poorly in the class, but then go and write the exam and get like 90-something percent? And it's because I didn't care. Yeah. I didn't care at all. I've never cared about my grades that much. And so I really, all through grade school, I never bothered to do any of the homework, none of it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. And then I tested really well. I was fortunate. I test really well. I'm really good at reading the question, looking at the answers, saying, well, it's not those two, it's between these two. well, the way they worded this is weird, so let's go with this one. And like, it works out. And a lot of the time, I get a lot of the information from just sitting in class. Like, I absorb it really well. Probably why I listen to so many podcasts, because I just absorb the information really well from just hearing it.
Yeah.
And so I never bothered to do my homework. And that was part of my problem as a student. I think there were probably some, like just mental health issues that I just never figured out while I was in school too.
Okay.
And I, to this day, I don't really know what it was. I just didn't care. Mm. And so then after that half of grade 11, I quit on public school, on attending school.
Really?
Yeah.
So, did that affect, other parts of your life? I mean, you said we're basically saying you were pretty apathetic as far as school is concerned.
Yeah.
Did that bleed over anywhere else in your life, or is it pretty much just school? It was like, and everything else is pretty good.
Everything else was pretty good.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend at the time. Okay. And
well, socially, and we got along things are good.
Great. Like, socially, totally fine. I felt like that was a time when I had a lot of friends. I still have, I would say I have more friends now, mm-hmm. And better friends now too. But I do feel like I did have pretty decent relationships back then, even still. I don't think I was a mean person. I was a mean person when I was little, but not when I left high school.
Fair enough.
I don't really know what it was.
Did you feel like it was a waste of time or something?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, because I had a buddy.
Felt like it was a waste of time.
Yeah, I had a buddy who I went to high school with, and for a few years he did homeschooling, and he really told during. I mean, I don't know how many times he told me this. It was so many different times. He's like, dude, school is such a waste of time. Everything that they do in school could be boiled down to maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours of my day. And they stretch it out for 6.5 hours. And it's just so stupid and so bogus. And he got great grades. I mean, he graduated with, I think, probably a 3.0. So it wasn't like it ever hurt him, but he hated going to school. And I mean, I guess looking back, he was right. I mean, it was really, and is still, like, even for my kids, I see it, that it's a waste of time. There's a lot of nonsense, I guess you could say, that goes on. And I understand, I mean, they've got to cater to everybody. And so there's some kids that
right. need
more attention than others. And the ones that, at least here in the U.S. school system, if you're not one of those ones that needs more attention, you get bored. And mm-hmm. you start to become apathetic and you just don't care anymore a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. I got super bored. Actually, so one of the classes that I did online through like homeschooling was Social Studies 30, which is grade 12 social studies.
Okay.
And so that's like history, politics, economics, that kind of thing, right? And I that's my favorite subject. So I went and I was. I sat down and I get an email from my teacher, from my online teacher. Mm-hmm. And he says, so the diploma exam is coming up in January. He says, if you want to write it then, you know, like you can sign up to write the exam in January, or you can wait and write it in June.
Okay.
And we had those two options and I thought, you know, I should just get it over with. I should just get it done.
Yeah.
Now, this is like 3 weeks before the exam.
Okay.
And I hadn't done any schoolwork, any classwork for this class. But it was all online and it was kind of at your own pace, right? And I thought, yeah, I just want to get it done. I'll write the exam in 3 weeks. And so the week before the exam, there's 2 weeks left, I sat down. Every single day, I did social studies homework for like 8 hours a day for the whole week.
Really?
And in a week, I did all of grade 12 social studies, wow. handed it all in. And then I went, wrote the exam, got like 93% on it.
So you retained it then pretty well.
So I mean, maybe. Okay. Well, you know,
that was enough.
I mean, like,
out of.
for social studies, I feel like you can make a lot of educated guesses. If you pay attention to the world around you, you can make some pretty decent guesses about what's going on. Most of it was multiple choice too, right? So I think there was totally a lot of luck involved.
Right.
And I did the whole thing in a week right before, right? I basically crammed, put it all in my head, went into the exam and finished. Hmm. And then I got an email from my professor or my teacher, and he said, hey, so just a heads up, like the time to write the exam in January is over. If you want to like write it in June, like you'll have to sign up here. And I emailed him back and I said, oh yeah, I did the exam. Like I'm done. He's like, oh, where are your assignments? I'm like, they're all in your inbox. I did everything last week. And yeah, I mean the best part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm studying to become a high school social studies teacher.
Oh, you are?
I totally am. Yeah.
So yeah. You got done with school. Then did you go right into college or what? What was the deal there?
No, I was very much of the mindset of like doing things my own way. I was going to be an entrepreneur. I was going to like be a millionaire and have this ideal life. Right. I, you know, this ideal life that I have no interest in. I was like, well, that was a very like influenced young man who wanted that life. Okay. Right. Yeah, so I took a few years. I did a few different jobs. I tried some things and then it was, I guess it would have been 2 years ago now that I was like, you know what? I'm going to go be a teacher.
And, so did you stay in Calgary the whole time after that?
I was in Calgary the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did some landscaping, both summer and winter.
Were you trying to start your own job in this, or were you working for somebody else?
No, I was working for somebody else doing the landscaping. I had no interest. Like, I've always been like a keep your hands clean, don't touch dirt kind of guy. And okay. So landscaping was not my thing. That was I need a job, so I guess I'll do it. But I ended up really enjoying it, actually, surprisingly enough, especially surprising to my parents, I think.
Yeah.
And
it can be a lot of fun. And when you're done with what you're doing,
yeah.
it's a really nice feeling of that. Wow, I did that. It's beautiful, you know, kind of.
Yeah, you have no idea how many pictures I took of perfectly mowed lawns.
There you go. It is. It's great.
So satisfying.
You know, those lines are just, I used to do lawn maintenance and landscaping.
Yeah.
Like you get done and you look at that lawn, you're like, dang, that's nice. And you mm-hmm. can just like, you know, put a piece of paper or something and it fits flat over the grass because it's perfectly mowed, you know, each grass blade mm-hmm. exact same height. Anyway, those are the kind of things that make us happy when we do that stuff.
It feels good. It feels so good.
It does.
Right. Yeah. And I did that. I did some retail jobs. I, managed a dry cleaning store, which was a lot easier than the term manager sounds.
Yeah.
And I did car sales as well. Oh. And then I kind of decided to come to school.
And so you said you are now studying to be a social studies teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What,
did just one day you woke up and said, I want to be a teacher. In fact, I want to be a social studies teacher. Or was this something that had always been in the back of your mind, or how'd this work?
It was the furthest thing from my mind. Growing up, I thought about like, I'm like, I want to be an architect. I still love architecture and think it'd be super cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be an actor. I want to be a director. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be like in the tech industry. I want to do this. Never, never, ever, ever. Did I consider being a teacher ever? Not even kind of, sort of. And then I was babysitting my little sisters for 10 days, mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And I took them because I was in charge. I was driving them to and from school and to church activities and stuff. And we were at a church activity and it was like, it was just a social thing. And I was sitting at the kids' table. And I was sitting with all the kids who were 12 to 18 mm-hmm. and I was chatting with them and I was telling them funny stories And I was, you know, and then I even like turned it into a lesson and was like, this is what I've learned. Like, this is, you know, how, you know, how I've learned to live my life and how I've learned to be happy and be a kind person and a good person. And then driving home, my little sisters, they're sitting in the back. One of them was up front and they're like, you should be a teacher. They're like, kids, like youth really like you, like teenagers really like you. And they listen to you. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, what should I teach? And they're like, you could teach anything. Like, you're just funny. You're entertaining. Like, it'd be cool. And I mean, making life decisions based on what your three littlest sisters say, usually not the best bet. But I was sitting there and I, for that whole week, I was thinking about it. I took them to their school band concert. Mm-hmm. And it was in a small town. My mom, stepdad, and little sisters live in a small town. And so it's like this band concert was every student in the school was participating because they had to, right?
Right.
And the students weren't great. Most of them weren't interested in being there.
Right.
But the teacher loved what she was doing, mm-hmm. right? She was sharing what she loved with these kids. And when I saw that, yeah. I was like, that just looks like the most fulfilling and satisfying thing a human being could do is share something that they love with the next generation, with these people. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of there that I was like, that's it. You know, I want to share information, knowledge and life, with youth. Yeah. And so that's ultimately what led me there. So it was really in like a period of a few days, I went from, no, I would never teach to, this is what I'm going to do. I went home straight when I was done babysitting them, got on my computer, applied to school and started that September.
So this is not very entrepreneurial.
Mm-mm.
And you're not going to get rich off of this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So actually helping young people get smart and mm-hmm. maybe find some sort of joy in something is going to be good for you. You're mm-hmm. okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
It just feels like it'd be a lot more fulfilling than,
and you're probably,
I mean, yeah. And I have enough for my life, you know, even right now, I am self-employed. So, I mean, I'm still entrepreneurial. I still have that, sure. you know, that thing. And that's really satisfying and fun. But it's just, I just want to, you know, interact with youth and just help them in whatever way that I can, make school a little bit more interesting for them than it was for me.
There you go. Yeah. And you probably will. I mean, it's amazing how much impact one person can make, you know, when you're going mm-hmm. to school. We all have a teacher we remember. And, mm-hmm. You know, for one reason or another, maybe some people just thought they were awesome because they were really fun to be around. But, you know, I mean, one of my favorite teachers I ever had in elementary school was also the biggest disciplinarian I ever had, mm-hmm. as far as the teachers are concerned. But not only did she discipline us, but I also knew she loved us and she wanted us to learn. And she was old school. Cause I'm talking, I was in, you know, elementary school in the early 80s. So she was old then. So she was really old school, but she taught, you know, to this day, I still remember her and all the stuff I learned in her class and got great grades because she inspired me to learn. Mm-hmm. And I got a feeling you're going to be that way. I think you're going to be a pretty good teacher.
I appreciate that. You know, you're exactly right. Like there are people in our lives who impact us so much. And you think about how much time you end up spending with a teacher.
Oh yeah.
Right. You better hope they're good.
Yeah. The parents better hope they're good too.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to come to BYU, Idaho? For those of you who don't know, BYU, Idaho is in Rexburg, Idaho. It used to be known, for those of us old Idahoans, as Rick's College, but they, in the early 2000s, I believe, made it a four-year school and changed the name to BYU, Idaho. So what made you decide to go there?
So, the school won't like this answer, but this is the honest truth. It was the cheapest and easiest school I could get into.
Really?
Yeah. Like I mentioned, I didn't properly complete high school. Uh-huh. And so nobody else would have taken me. It would have been a wild runaround for me to get into any other school.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting, great answer. I like it. I do know it's a lot cheaper than BYU Provo. I mean, I guess it's a lot cheaper because I know there's a lot of people that end up coming here because of that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get a discount being part of the faith that runs BYU. Do you like it there?
I'm going to have to be, okay.
Be diplomatic. Be honest.
I had a feeling this question would come up, and I'm always careful about who my audience is.
Sure.
When I answer this question, so right off the bat, I'll tell anybody that's listening, I'll tell you that this answer is going to be like a very glossy answer.
Fair enough.
Just because my opinions on certain things, I save for like very, very close friends.
It's a private school, and there's certain things you've got to sign and agree to, but
So I will say there are a ton of things to love about BYU Idaho.
Sure.
And I'm laughing saying this because there are also a ton of things to hate. But I'll focus on the positive things.
Sure.
The people here, amazing. I have made some of the best friends of my life here. My roommates, I was so lucky. I came in blind. I didn't choose any of my roommates. My first morning waking up in my apartment, there was a stranger in the bed next to me, not in my bed with me, but in the bed beside my bed.
Okay.
And because I got in later, and when I got in, he was already asleep. That was a weird thing to happen. But I wake up in the morning, and there's this guy, his bed is already made, totally organized, great guy. And he looks at me and he had seen my Canadian passport.
Yeah.
And turns out he's actually dual citizen. He's American and Canadian.
Oh, wow.
And so then he's like, where in Canada are you from? Turns out we knew some of the same people growing up. He lives in North Carolina, has for most of his life. But at a certain time in his childhood, he actually lived like a 5-minute drive from my house.
Oh, wow. That's pretty
cool. And the rest of my roommates, we all got along great. Wow. I was super fortunate. Professors, amazing.
Sure.
Like phenomenal people. They really care about you. The class size is small, which is awesome. I have really good personal relationships with lots of my past professors. Which is, you know, something that a lot of people don't get.
Yeah.
Like the people here, that's ultimately amazing. And the campus is pretty too. And I'll give them that as well.
What about Rexburg as a whole? Do you like Rexburg as a whole?
I do actually. Yeah. It is kind of interesting. There is a little bit of tension, and everybody's aware of this, between the students and the town folk. Mm-hmm. And understandably, like, totally makes sense. Students can be idiots sometimes, like,
you know,
in any college town. Yeah. But in general, I've had the opportunity to hang out with a lot of people who are born and raised in Rexburg, lived here all their life. Just phenomenal people, like really, really nice people.
Yeah, sure.
Those
of us who are native, we do joke about 1M license plates, but They're not as bad as 1J license plates, which is just down the road from you in Rigby, Idaho. But anyway, that's a whole nother story.
So the license plate is associated with like the town or the area,
the first
or what?
Two digits are, it basically denotes the county that the person registered their car in.
And 1M is Madison County.
Madison County, 1J is Jefferson, 8B is Bonneville, where I live, 4B Bingham, which would be Blackfoot. And anyway, yeah, so it's kind of nice. Not every state does that, but yeah, you can figure out where somebody's from in Idaho just by looking at their license plate, which is
kind of nice. Interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah. Huh.
One thing I have heard, I've heard that there's nothing an Idahoan hates more than like an out-of-state license plate. Like whenever you see somebody on the road, it's like, they're from California or they're from,
now you've said it. Now it's not necessarily that we hate out-of-staters. It just depends on what state you're from.
There's
particular hatred, really probably for two states. One is California, because we think they're, and I don't necessarily believe this, but generally speaking, stereotypically speaking, Idahoans think Californians are a bunch of libtards and they should their politics in their own state. Now, the state that I think that most Idahoans really dislike, especially Eastern Idahoans, would be Utah. They don't like the way they drive. They drive terrible. They're inconsiderate. And so we usually call them Utards is what we call them.
Hey, you know what? That's actually a very common term in like Mormon LDS lingo, even outside of the United States.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Utard is the...
Utard, yeah. And I mean, I have so many good friends from Utah that I love and adore. Yeah. And,
Well, it's just that
it's just like a funny, just a little jab just to,
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not LDS, but I'm kind of honorary LDS because I grew up in Idaho Falls, Idaho, right?
Right.
but it's funny. You meet somebody who's not from this area or not from Utah, they really don't like a lot. And this is stereotypically speaking, of course. I mean, this place is fantastic. There's great people living here. But it's funny when you talk to LDS people, maybe not around, from around here, they're like, not a big fan of Utah Mormons. But yeah, we'll move on from that topic. How much, before we get into more personal, now I'm getting all tongue tied. How many more years of school do you have left? Are you almost done?
Yeah. So, I have about 1 year left at BYU Idaho on campus, as long as COVID-19 doesn't do any damage to my major.
Sure.
Which right now it looks like it won't. But it might, we'll see how things progress. And then I'll go do my student teaching. So, that puts me at a year and a half. So in a year and a half, I'll be totally done my whole bachelor's of education here.
Will they place you in the student teaching?
So you get a few options, for BYU Idaho. They have options in Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Vegas, and I want to say Wyoming too.
Okay.
I'm kind of hoping to go to Arizona just because I've never really spent much time there. Whereas all the other states, like I've spent time in Vegas and lots in Utah and lots in Idaho. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be cool to go see Arizona.
Yeah.
Not for the heat, but, just for the experience.
It's not that bad in the winter, honestly, down there. That's why everybody goes down there for the winter. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But 103 degrees is pretty hot.
I would die. I would die so fast. I would just say, no, you know what? Not worth it to finish my education. Yeah. I'm gone. See you later. I'm going to go back to my entrepreneur, get rich, struggle scheme.
So once you get done with your degree, do you plan on going back to Canada? Or are you going to stay here in the United States?
I'll definitely go back to Canada. Mm-hmm. In Alberta in particular, teachers are paid a lot better. Uh-huh. And the attitude around teachers is a little different as well from kind of what I've noticed.
Yeah.
And so I'll go back there, which will mean I'll have to do another year or two of school, in order to teach in Alberta, which to get a, to become a teacher in Alberta, it takes 5 to 6 years anyways. Really? So it works out to be about the same amount of time.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. It really kind of makes me sad, you know, to hear that, you know, people say that as far as, first of all, that we don't pay our teachers enough. And that is true in Idaho. We're like 48th in the nation, I think, for
pay our
teachers. And then not only that, how we treat our teachers, in general, that we think that they're babysitters or, I don't know, they're recruits for the Democratic Party or something. I mean, I've heard all
these
things. It's just really sad that we do that to our teachers. And I hope that changes, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
Just because we don't want to lose, you know, good people such as yourself.
No.
We want to teach down here and you know, we wonder why we have bad teachers. Well, how are you going to have good teachers if, you know, we treat them like we do and we don't pay them enough?
Right. And I mean, my thing is, I'll teach anywhere, you know, if the pay is right, for me and whatever family I end up having, I'd go pretty much anywhere in the world to teach.
Yeah, that's good.
But that said, Alberta's home. I love it there. And, and I think it'd be cool to, you know, to continue calling it home.
Sure. Yeah. I'd love to get up to Canada someday. I've never been over the border.
Yeah. I was listening to your show and I think you mentioned that you'd never left the US.
I have not. No, never. The closest I've gotten is like when I go to North Dakota, I'm literally about 30 miles away from the border.
Yeah. That is so close.
You know, and honestly, from what I understand, I could probably go to Canada pretty easily. It's just getting back into the United States that would be the problem.
Well, so
I don't have a passport, so that's part of it.
Right. So you got to get your passport. And from what I hear, the process in the US, it can take a little bit longer than it does back home. Like back home, I needed my passport. My sister was living in Rexburg at the time and I was going to come visit her. And I put a rush on it just to make sure that I had it. Mm-hmm. And I drove downtown Calgary and picked it up the day after I went in and signed all the paperwork.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was really nice. But down here, like, get your passport, go places, man.
I need to explore. I'm old even, and I haven't explored.
even if you go, if you can cross the Canadian border, like you can cross into Canada with like your driver's license and like bring your birth certificate and like any other documentation you have.
Yeah.
And then they'll let you back in. I did this with a roommate. They might question you a little bit. They'll might be like, why don't you have a passport? And then that's when you say, well, I just really wanted to see Canada and this was my opportunity to do it. And they'll let you back in because you proved, look, I'm an American citizen. Like you have to let me back in.
Yeah.
And they'll do it. But it's very, it's fun. It's fun to travel. You got to check it out.
Yeah. I guess, I think, what is the city that's just on the other side of the border? I think it's Manitoba. Is that it? Something like that? I can't remember.
Manitoba is the province that's on the other side of, that's like north of city? North Dakota.
Well, there's it's a pretty decent sized city that's only about 75 miles away from where I go look at potatoes. It's just on the other side of the border. And I can't,
I don't know how close to the border. It could be Winnipeg.
That's what it is. Yes, Winnipeg.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. Yep.
Yeah.
So whatever that is. So
I've never been to Winnipeg. I hear awful things, but I feel like they're stereotypes and it's probably really nice.
All right. That's fair. Well, yeah. Who knows? North Dakota, anything's better than North Dakota as far as I can. Anyway. North Dakota is one of those places where you can watch your dog run away for days and days and days. I'm just saying. It's just
I mean, you know what? What's wrong with that? You don't lose track of him.
I don't even want to. Yeah, that's just a horror. Look, you were talking about Arizona, and so I do go to Arizona, actually, to look at potatoes as well.
Oh, really?
But it's the exact opposite. So their season, they grow their potatoes, is from roughly December to March and April. So they start harvesting their potatoes in April. So we start going down to Arizona, April, May, June timeframe, and that's when it starts to get hot down there.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you hit May, it's 110, 120 degrees on a daily basis down there. So it's really, really hot. So it's this weird thing. Mm-hmm. Why can't I go to Arizona in the winter and go to North Dakota in the summer? It would be really, you know, it'd be nice to change that out. But
yeah,
it is the way it is. You got to follow the potatoes and the seasons, and that's how we do it. But anyway,
follow the potatoes.
That's right. Well, we're heading, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We're kind of wrapping up here, but I always like to ask my guests a couple of questions. I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts where I ask them the questions, but I have a couple of very flippant questions. I like to ask them. They're very simple. And are you courageous enough to answer the questions?
Absolutely. I'll answer anything.
Okay, here we go. First question. Who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, my favorite superhero. Okay, now I do remember you asking these questions. My favorite superhero, because I thought about this a little bit. I'd probably have to say Iron Man, actually.
Okay. Why is that?
That was kind of the world's introduction to the MCU. Mm-hmm. But I remember my second choice would have been Spider-Man, but I remember going to see that in the theater and crying during the Green Goblin transformation scene. Iron Man, though, I remember watching that movie and being like, that is so cool. Like, that is awesome. And from then on, I remember as a kid, I'd like imagine that I had holograms around me. And I'd be like doing the little, you know, Tony Stark, you know, moving the holograms around thing. I just thought it was so cool just because of the awesome technology. And he was smart and he was funny. And I just loved that idea. That probably ties in a little bit with my, you know, younger me really wanting to be rich and this cool person that could do whatever he wanted. I think that's probably where it comes from. But yeah, definitely Iron Man.
Fly around in a nice space suit. And
I mean, how cool is that, right?
Rocket suit, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool with guns and laser, yeah. And whatever else is in it. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. And yes, Iron Man is a fantastic show for sure. I think the MCU, the universe wasn't really doing very well. I don't think. I mean, it was doing okay, but boy, when Iron Man came out and you had what's his name playing Iron Man, it was just fantastic. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, second question then. Who is your favorite band or musician currently?
Currently, I've really been enjoying the Arcadian Wild past year and a half. I never heard of them.
No, and I've heard of a lot of bands. I never heard of them.
Yeah, so they're from Nashville, and they have this. It's like a indie folk alternative kind of. I don't know. It's very, very folksy. Like a lot of acoustic sounds and it's a lot of fun and upbeat, music.
Okay.
Just about life and a lot about love too. And it just feels good, you know?
Who would you compare them to? It'd be like Nickel Creek or somebody like that or what?
I don't know who Nickel Creek is. Oh, really? I don't know who I'd compare them to, honestly. Yeah, you just have to go give them a listen. Yeah, there's no other artist that I listen to. I have a very eclectic, playlist that I listen to. Mm-hmm. And they're the only one on there that has quite that sound.
Gotcha. Who would be your favorite musician of all time?
Of all time?
Or band. In a band, yeah.
Band or musician. I'm going to say somebody who I don't think has any albums out, but somebody who I know.
Okay.
And so you can't look him up or any, I mean, you could look him up, find him, you know, stalk him, whatever. His name is Brad Torrey. Okay. And he is an amazing pianist. He communicates beautifully through the piano. Mm-hmm. I've heard him play multiple times just at church, at parties, sounds weird, you know, hanging out at a party and somebody's playing the piano, but he's really, really talented. And he just has a way to draw people into it and make you feel something.
Okay.
So he's probably my favorite musician.
Is he
I guess.
Tour or is I guess he somebody so. Locally in Calgary or what?
Yeah, no, he's just somebody. My sister went to high school with him.
Oh,
just okay. A talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just good. Yeah.
All right. That's great. Okay. So next question would be, these are a little deeper, but we'll see. What is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote. Mm-hmm. So I was asked this the other day by a professor. He asked us to introduce ourselves and share a favorite quote. I almost quoted myself and said, most of what we say doesn't even matter. But then I said, maybe saying that to a professor would be like, look, most of what you're going to say in class doesn't matter. Like, most, I figured that wasn't
very, but okay.
Yeah. So I was in a mood, I guess. So I wound up saying, and I'm going to stick, this is the answer I'll stick with. No, I am your father, Darth Vader. Encouraging me, this is my explanation. It encourages me to take responsibility for things. Even when I have like a get out of jail free card, like Darth Vader could have said, like, you're right, your daddy's dead, right? But instead he said, no, actually I'm your father. So yeah, that's my favorite quote. I actually watched that movie last night. So perfect timing.
I never thought about it that way. I always thought that there was some sort of like manipulation factor that Darth Vader was trying to do with making him, you know that he was his father. But you know, I mean,
that's probably the truth. But I can make up anything out of anything, and that's what I went with.
That's fair. And so, when you become a teacher, I do want you to lead with most of what we say doesn't matter.
I will.
Okay, sounds good.
I totally
and see
will.
How many of your students check out at that point? Maybe they might actually be a little bit more intrigued. Who knows?
I hope so. Maybe I'll go for kind of a Dead Poet Society feel in the classroom.
There you go. Make them stand on the desk and say, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." That'd be great.
Yes.
All right. Last question. What is the best piece of advice you've been given?
The best piece of advice I've been given. I remember I thought about this because I was on my walk in Rexburg around campus. When I was listening to your show, and I thought, what is the best piece of advice I've ever given? And it was actually from a church leader, Richard Carter, who anybody from back home will know who he is. He's awesome. Very like kind old man. He told me once when I was 14, at church, we have different responsibilities that we do and usually at different ages and stuff. Right. I guess if anybody's Catholic, I was kind of like an altar boy. I was helping out with taking care of these ordinances at church. And I was asked if anybody ever thanks me for doing that, for helping out with these services. And I told him, I'm like, no, I said, no, nobody ever thanks me. Mm-hmm. And I do it every week. And he looked at me and he's like, good. He's like, he says, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, chances are it will go unnoticed, but you'll still be making other people's lives better. So that really like, that stuck with me, that you don't need thanks when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And you just got to live a good life.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, you're absolutely right. If you're doing it to get thanks, then you're doing it to get accolades, and then your motivation is done. You know, if you want to talk biblically, well, you're not storing up your treasures in heaven if you do that way. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it because you want to bless people around you, if you want to do it because you are wanting to bless what you do towards God, then your treasures are going to be in heaven that way. So your thanks will be there instead of here. And that's eternal. And that's what matters more than the temporal, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, you know what? One thing I did forget before we move on, let's talk a little bit about your podcast. Tell me a little bit about what
Sure. So what I do, so the first show that I started, I produce and work on 5 different podcasts, but the first one I started, it's called My Wax Museum. It's basically like exactly what you do here, which is awesome. And I'd love to have you on My Wax Museum and chat with you there and learn more about you. I just chat with people that I know from my everyday life because I mean, exactly what you're preaching here. Like the people, just like everybody has a story, right? Like the people around us matter. And so that's the first podcast that I did. My main podcast, the one I promote the most, it's called The People of Home. It's a simulated nation where I play a news anchor and the listeners play the citizens, and they determine what happens in the country. They vote on things and they determine ultimately the future of the nation. Right now, we're doing a flag design contest where I'm going to ship the winner of the contest a full-sized version of the flag.
Oh, wow.
And then we're also making a constitution for the country. So we talk about culture, politics, history, economics, all kind of in this space without the labels of the real world.
Right.
Yeah, you can find all the rest of my shows on mechoradio.com too. Okay. That's Echo with an M in front of it. Mechoradio.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we put the links to those podcasts and such in the show notes, and any other way that you'd like people to reach out to you, we'll make sure we include all that in the show notes as well. Well,
yeah.
It's been a pleasure talking to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for being willing to come on the show today.
Yeah, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I look forward to chatting more.
Sounds great. And you know what? I will take you up on the offer, and I'll be more than happy to come on your podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have to find a time to do that.
Sweet. Thanks so much, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Alex Williams on Everyone Has a Story. Thank you so much, Alex, for calling into the studio and sharing some time with us. Truly, truly appreciate it. If you want to find out a little bit more about Alex or connect with him, you can do so by checking out the show notes. We'll find out all the various information about his podcast and social media platforms right there in the show notes, so make sure to check that out. And as we talked about earlier, we will be going on hiatus for at least the month of June. But we're not going anywhere, so don't delete the podcast, okay? Okay. Check out some of the back episodes you haven't. I've got over 70 podcasts out, and there are plenty of stories that you probably haven't listened to that you might find interesting. So take this opportunity to go back and check out some of the archives. That'd be amazing, right? Yeah, I think so. I would love it. I would love it if you checked out some of the old podcasts. Well, this is Nate Wade, and I hope you have a fantastic week and a fantastic month of June. Get warm, get a little sunshine, get a little suntan, go out, fish, camp, do all the fun stuff that summer months allows us to do. And I look forward to seeing you and talking to you in about a month's time. This is Nate Wade saying everybody is unique. Everybody has a story. What's yours? Have a great month, y'all. Bye.
Podcast Network.